Well, good morning, everyone. Let me begin by asking you a question. Have you ever been to a job interview, or a meeting, or a gathering, and someone asks, very simply, "Who are you?" I hate that question. I really do. My name is Marco Argentino, I'm 55 years old, and I work at CCM. Wow. My name, 2 digits, and 3 letters. Is that it? Is that my identity? I really hate those questions, I really do. No. I know that I am more than just those 3 things. I've been working very hard these past 55 years trying to discover who I really am. And as I peel back those layers, I have discovered, and I can also say, that I am a husband, a father, a grandfather, friend, deacon. For those in the hockey world, I am the Wolf. But above all these things, I can say from the depth of my heart that I am a child of God. What is your identity? Who are you? Think about that. Now, you're probably not aware of this, but today's gospel is a turning point, the turning point in the ministry of Jesus. We have followed him all the way from the south, all the way from his own baptism, all the way up through Samaria, through Galilee, and now he's at the very top of Palestine, in Caesarea Philippi. He is there. And this is a very interesting area because he brings his disciples to a place that is noted historically as a place where devils are worshipped. And there can be found the entrance of a cave that is believed by the pagans to be the gateway to the underworld. And in that place, there is a very popular shrine to the Greek god Pan. Now, the Greek god Pan was one of those kind of naughty gods, leading people astray all the time. And you see him very often depicted in pictures as playing the flute, like this picture here. And he used to play his flute to entice good people away and into a kind of the naughty things that he was known for. So why do I mention all this? Why is this important? Because this is the place where Jesus suddenly stops and he says to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And of course, you hear a whole bunch of really weird answers. Some say you're John the Baptist. John the Baptist was already dead. He was beheaded by King Herod. Some say he was risen from the dead, and you are John the Baptist. Others say, well, you're Jeremiah or some other great prophet of the past. But Jesus stops, looks at his disciples, and he says to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Of course, this is the main point, isn't it? And it is a great question. And it has a double meaning. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This question is being asked to us today. Not 2,000 years ago, not 100 years ago, Not even the theologians that we admire, the Augustines, the St. Thomas Aquinas, these wonderful people that we look to. No, today, none of that matters, because today, here and now, Jesus is asking that same question to us. Who do you say that I am? Lord is asking the question. He offers us that very same challenge to us. We have to remember, pause, and think. What Jesus is asking us is important to all of us as we ask ourselves that question. Because if we stand up and we say with our hearts, when we hear that question, who do you say that I am? And we say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does that statement mean? What does it imply? Well, if you ask me, it states that we become what we believe. We become what we believe. We become one of his disciples. And in making us disciples, it teaches us that we have two realities in our lives. The first reality is faith. It is an act of faith, of giving ourselves to him totally and completely, every hour of our life. The second thing, of course, is an act of love, the love of others. And this is what Jesus is finally establishing. There's a community of men and women, very ordinary, like Peter, full of weakness, very much part of this life, and open to the misfortunes and difficulties and the pain of this life. I love Peter, the lovely Peter. Peter, who was always in trouble, the impetuous Peter, who just a few weeks ago said to Jesus, if it is you, Lord, let me come walking on the water, because Jesus disappeared to them on the stormy seas. And Jesus says to him, come. And he began to walk on the water. And then, all of a sudden, all of his faith fell out of him. What am I doing? Walking on water. Worry about this, worry about that. And then he begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches down, lifts him up, brings poor Peter, this man full of bravado, into the boat and into safety. I can so relate to Peter. To be honest with you, if I was in the boat and I saw Jesus coming on the waters to me, I would have stayed in the boat. Especially after watching Shark Week last week. I ain't getting in the water. But think about it. Take a moment. Today, this same Peter, who now says, standing in the shadow of the great God Pan in the whole pagan world, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. And like Peter, Jesus sends us on our journey of faith and gives us the necessary tools to travel our different paths, love of God and love of neighbor. This got me thinking, you know, we don't have to travel thousands of miles to a distant shore or make these kinds of sacrifices to avail ourselves to his offer. We don't have to look very far to find our neighbor. We need only to accept his promise and his presence with faith and trust in him. Then he will provide the strength for us to walk his way, to live his life, to be faithful to his gospel. And it will be important for us to articulate his gospel with clarity and enthusiasm through words and action. At the heart of today's gospel is the challenge to lose ourselves in the concerns for others. If we truly love every other person as Jesus has loved us, especially in the days that we are living today, we don't have to look at risk or color or public opinion or all other excuses for walking away. Again, he says, "Do you know who I am? Do you know me?" Jesus' question is addressed to us now. And we who are his followers answer readily, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of the living God." But there is an implied, crucial follow-up question as well. How well do we know him? How well do we know Jesus? Do we know him well enough to trust his promise to lead us into eternal life with God who is love? Do we trust in his promise that we will discover our life's true meaning and purpose and through our love of one another? The world around us is asking, "Who are you? What are you about? Why do you do what you do?" Hopefully, everything we say and do will proclaim very loudly and clearly, "We are faithful followers of Jesus Christ, who we proclaim as our Lord and Savior. We are his hands, his eyes, his heart, his body, and we bring his light and truth to the whole world. In his name and by his power, we are trying to remake the face of the earth, to renew our world, to overcome evil and suffering, and to restore all things in him." And Jesus does it. Up there, in the shadow of the pagan god, to let us know that this is something. What he's showing us is not just for the people of the past, but all people, including us, including the pagans who dance around that place, who worship the pagan god. There is only one reality left, that there is love and there is service, nothing else. God loves us, he serves us, and he asks us to join with him in loving and serving others. And we are not perfect at it. And we fail time and again. I fail time and again. The Bible says that a good person fails 7 times a day. 7 times a day we fail. But Jesus is with us. And each time we fail, he lifts us up and says, "Come with me, for we have a purpose in life, to love and to serve." So here is my ask. This is what I would like you to do. Imagine yourself before Jesus and hear his voice in the depths of your heart. "Who do you say that I am?" What's your response? What does this mean for you and for me? Begin to discover who you are in Jesus and your identity as a child of God. Remember, we become what we believe.